from James chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. And buckle up, everyone. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? But He gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday, May 14th, 2021. Well, Jason, I told you right beforehand, I'm a little tentative to open up the program with you adulterous people, but... you know, this is God's Word. It's instructive. It's informing. It's convicting. It's helpful. It's inspired words to guide, to lead us, to help us understand God. And, you know, I have to take to heart. Are there times that I stray from God, that I cheat on Him, if you will, that I'm not faithful to my calling or to my relationship with Him? And so this is, again, another passage that I think God will use to help us understand principles and tendencies and be aware or alerted to how fallen we are and that our great tendency is to stray from God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And I mean, it's strong language, isn't it? I mean, you hear the language and immediately, even as you kind of chuckled as you read it, like, this is really pointed language. And that's because James is discussing with believers in the church an important subject, and one so important because it's saying something about their relationship with God, their relationship to God, but also it's manifesting itself in the relationship with one another.
Hmm.
I mean, in chapter 4 and verse 1, James has addressed the fights and the quarrels and the facts that they're caused by desires that wage within those believers, that wage within us even. That's the reason why we have these quarrels and these fights and this bickering and this divisiveness that happens, is because we have desires inside of ourselves. And James goes on to say, listen, the reason that this is happening is because you have friendship with the world. That's what he calls it in the passage there. He says friendship with the world. And what he's saying by using that phrase, friendship with the world, is he's saying, listen, you've chose a different path.
Hmm.
You've been called to this other thing, which is friendship with God, which is being known by, called by, to serve and to lead in the strength and power of God. But you've chosen to marry yourself. Again, that language of adultery, we can use the word marriage in that. You've chosen to marry yourself to something else, to a different power. And that power is producing inside of you, or at least manifesting and magnifying something that's really horrible, and that's pride. That's why later on in this passage, it's going to say God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Because the fact that you've married yourself to the world, it's exposing and it's feeding your own pride. Because listen, the world wants to cheer you on. The world wants to make much of you as you make much of yourself. And the followers of Jesus Christ don't make much of themselves or of the world. They make much of Jesus.
Hmm.
All that they do is for His glory. All that we do is for Him so that He can be known in the world. And so we have to be real careful about this, because James is saying, listen, what's happening around you, the fights and the quarrels, the things that come from the desires that wage war within you, is saying a lot about your relationship with God. The fact that we have 5,000 different denominations in the church world says something about the church. It says something about our divisiveness. It says something about how easily we're willing to divide. It says something about how when we can't figure it out together, we're more willing to say, well, you go over there and I'm going to go over here and I'm going to put first in front of my name, or I'm going to put second in front of my name, or I'm going to put United, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very, very careful, because the world loves that. The world loves that. And so we want to be very careful. Now, James here, right where you chuckled, used the words adulteress. And this language is Old Testament language. In fact, Hosea was told by God, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to God.
Hmm.
Hosea 1:2 tells us that it is possible that the people of God and even the land, you know, and the land being antithetical to like the people themselves, because it was given to them by God, is adultery. they're adulterous because they've chosen something other than God. They've been called by God. They've been given this land by God to make much of who God is, and they're doing something else. You know, Mark tells us that Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels. Hmm. That's Mark chapter 8 and 38. And so where we marry ourselves to tells us a lot about what we believe and what we think to be true.
Hmm.
And our adultery does the exact same. You know, what's really interesting is that, like I already pointed out, later on in this passage, when we get to verse 6, you know, after it says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You stand opposed to God. Why? Because the world is sinful. The world is fallen. If you marry yourself to these sinful, fallen systems, you stand opposed to God. The church and God's people are supposed to be a kingdom that exists within a nation, a subversive kind of movement that continually goes to the kingdom of God and moves counterculturally to do the things that a fallen nation can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting that the hospital systems were originally built by the church?
Yeah.
The church who said, you know what? We need to make sure that there's good health care, and not only good health care, but places where people are prayed for and those kinds of things. Amazing to me. It says, or do you suppose, going on to verse 5, it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. So even though we have married ourselves to the world, even though we have committed adultery against God, the Bible says here in James that he gives us more grace. He offers an opportunity for us to return. That's the book of Hosea. Go and marry this adulterous woman, but continually, as she commits adultery, go and get her. Go back and bring her home. Go back and bring her home. Keep going back and bringing her home. And when you do it, tell her that you have loved her with an everlasting love.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a picture of how God is. He gives more grace. And then it says, therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So the crux of this whole entire passage is our relationship to God and pride and humility.
Hmm.
That God opposes the proud, and he exalts the humble. And therefore, humility should be something that we hold in high value. And yet, when we look around, when we even look within the church, Mark, humility is not something that we celebrate.
All right.
We celebrate wittiness. We celebrate biting sarcasm. We celebrate all kinds of things. Success. When have we had humble Sunday?
Yeah.
Well, the reason we haven't had it is because if you have it, then you can't have it again, right?
Yeah, that's
the minute
right.
You celebrate somebody for being humble, they're no longer humble. But we have to be very careful where pride is concerned, because if we go into a bookstore, or we even go on Amazon and we look at what is the biggest selling section or category within a bookstore or even on Amazon, it's the self-help section. Why? Because we want to do it ourselves. You know, if we look each day, I looked at this morning, each day Google receives 3.5 billion searches.
Huh.
That means 3.5 billion people at different points in the day are trying to figure out how they can do it themselves. And why do I mention these two things? Because the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. That we're supposed to be the kinds of people who say, I need to figure out how to do this. Let me go back to the book.
Hmm.
You know, the book isn't well-worn because you've been to a whole lot of Bible studies. The book is well-worn because you've been opening it up to apply it to your life continually. I heard it said before, the Bible isn't the book you carry. The Bible is the book that carries you.
Hmm.
But see, what we've done is in our own pride, we've made it the book that we carry. And we made it the book that we carry so that we have some kind of status symbol or some kind of that. You know, I know in the old Baptist world, the bigger your Bible was, maybe the bigger your mansion was in heaven. You know, but we have to be very, very careful. Why? Because pride is what stands opposed to God. You read the Bible and look at all the things that God opposes. It's pride. And the root of all evil is pride, because pride stands opposed to God. Pride says, I can do it on my own. I have a list that I printed out earlier today and I put in front of me. It's the difference between pride and humility. So this might help some folks or be helpful for them. Pride focuses on the failures of others. Pride is self-righteous, overly critical, and fault-finding. Pride goes on fault-finding missions. Pride looks at their life through a telescope, but others' lives through a microscope. Pride looks down on those who aren't spiritual or committed as they are. You know, pride says, oh my gosh, you know, you're just not spiritual enough. You're just not committed enough. You're just not good enough. Pride thinks they know who is truly proud and who is truly humble. So pride becomes the arbiter of who is good and who isn't, who's truly proud. You know, it's interesting that most people who are prideful would, in a very prideful way, claim that they're humble. Pride thinks everyone is privileged to have them involved. Pride is the voice that says, you're lucky I'm here. Humility realizes how far they've fallen and have an overwhelming sense and need to grow. Humility is forgiving and compassionate. Humility looks for the best in others, not their faults. Humility seeks to win people, not arguments. Humility realizes God knows a person's true motives. Humility goes back to God in those moments and says, God, what's going on with this person? What are they thinking? What are they feeling? Help me to understand so that I can better serve them. Humility leaves the judgment of the heart in God's hands. And humility thinks they don't deserve the opportunities that God gives them. And not because they're not good enough, but because they look at what God's doing and they say, God, why would you want to use me? There has to be better choices out there. You know, I love the quote I heard one time. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Yeah.
So you don't think that you're bad or you're worse, but instead you go, you know what? I'm not even thinking about me. I'm too busy trying to think of others. I'm too busy seeking first the kingdom of God. And this is so important because when I look at these two lists that I have in front of me right now, I can see the prideful person being the one who could be the center or the catalyst for the quarrels and the fights. The war that wages. Because what kind of war wages inside of you when you come into a room and suddenly you feel like you're not the most important person in the room? Or you come into a room and you think that you should be the most important person in the room and you're not. All of a sudden there's animosity and there's antagonism and there's frustration. And what kind is there when you come into a room and you begin to denote who is good enough and who's not, who's spiritual and who's really committed? And boy, oh boy, I mean, you're just asking for arguments and divisiveness when all you want to do is criticize and fault find. And yet the person who brings people together is the person who continually goes to God and says, you know what, God, I don't even have any of this figured out, and I'm not sure why you're using me, but can you help me understand why Mark feels this way, or can you help me understand why Tom feels this way? And God, I don't know what's going on in this person's heart, but I know you do, and you're going to judge their heart, so help me not to judge their heart because I don't want to. I know that that's going to create division between us. See, the world would love for you to be prideful because the world loves division. The world loves those fights and quarrels. I mean, that's the reason why we tune in and we watch so much of those TV shows and we just wait for somebody to pick up a chair and throw it across the room or somebody to begin to argue. You know, it was really funny. I went over to somebody's house and they said, hey, let's sit down. I'm going to watch the news real quick. And we were watching this news, one of the cable news stations, and we were like a minute into watching it and this argument broke out. And I just looked at him and I said, I thought we were going to watch the news. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, this isn't the news. I said, this is a debate which is moving into, you know, something else. But this is not the news. The news is information being given to us so that we can better understand what's happening in the world. Well, all that I'm watching right now is two people fight. You know, I'm watching two people quarrel. I'm not seeing humility. And the interesting thing is that when it comes to the people of God, Romans 12:18 tells us that much as it depends on you, the person who's listening right now, on you, live at peace or live peaceably with everyone. Meaning that as much as it depends on you, which means that you're going to have to be humble and realize that it doesn't actually depend on you because you need to depend on God. Because the only way you're going to live at peace with others is when you are leaning on God, when you are leaning into God, when you are operating in the Spirit, because in your flesh you will manifest your pride and you will want to quarrel and you'll want to bicker and you'll want to fight, which is why James tells his listeners, he goes, I have the answer for you. It's so simple. I don't know how you're missing it because you're supposed to be the people of God. It's called draw near to God. But if we draw near to God, we have to lay down our pride, and first and foremost, we have to admit that we really like making much of ourselves. You know, nobody listening to this radio program right now is going to say, I'm God. But so many of us at different points in our days and our weeks live like we're God, making ourselves the center of the world, making ourselves the most important thing. How many of our arguments as men with our wives has been like, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? You know, kind of the king complex where we roll into the house and we're wondering why everybody hasn't bowed down to worship the reigning king who has arrived home from a long day of work. But that's not how the man of God arrives home. The man of God arrives home humble and says, I worked hard today, but my work is just beginning. Now I need to serve you guys. I need to come in here. And I only know this by failing at it many, many times.
Yeah, I think all of us men are holding up our hands and can identify. And I was thinking as you were given this illustration of humility, how the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in the upper room when he takes off his robes and he's washing the disciples' feet, you know, basically in other places too, where he says, you know, I came to serve and give my life as a ransom. I didn't come to be served. And how he perfectly demonstrated humility. Here's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, up with God in heaven, and gave up all that to come to serve humanity, to die for us, to follow the Father's will, to give up his own life. And talk about somebody that didn't have to be humble, because he was perfect and awesome and almighty and God, and yet humbled himself, even coming in the form of a child, a baby, and having to go through living in a fallen world and dealing with disciples that, you know, were like all of us, you know, self-centered and clueless and doubting, and here the very Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was in human form, and yet he was perfectly humble, and yet even those around him, James and John, who's going to be first in the kingdom? Oh, yeah, let's position it. I mean, and I think all of us can find points where we're either prideful or just consumed with ourselves. We're the center of our own universe.
Well, just think about it. I mean, how many times have we thought about Isaiah chapter 6 and we go, here I am, Lord, send me. And forget that before Isaiah proclaimed, here I am, Lord, send me, he said, woe is me, for I am lost, a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. He says, this is trustworthy. This is full acceptance. You need to accept this fully, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Imagine what a humbling thing. Paul says, the reason that this is important and the reason that this is trustworthy, the reason that you need to accept this fully is because you need to keep saying that to yourself. That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst. And thank God he saved me. Thank God his grace was poured out. And I can't think of anything that can humble a person like remembering how you were saved. That Christ chose to save you, that he chose to die upon that cross so that you might have not only everlasting life with him, but so that you might live and move and in this world in a different way. In a way that actually brings things back together and points people towards him. But so often, Mark, as you read in the beginning there, so often we can unintentionally marry ourselves to the world. And it's interesting that James uses the words adultery, because most of the time that I've ever counseled folks who have been involved in adultery, it kind of just happened. It's something that they didn't intend to happen, but it just kind of grew 10 heads, and then they were in this adulterous relationship. And I think that's the same way that it happens with us. We don't realize how we're marrying ourselves to the world until we're already married to it and committing adultery on the most beautiful, perfect groom that we could ever have, which is Jesus. I mean, we're called the bride of Christ, and we have this beautiful, magnificent groom that is supposed to be so appealing that adultery is not something that ever enters our mind, and yet still it happens.
You know, last week you mentioned this verse, James 4:8, and it's one of my life verses. I just love to think about it and talk about it, but it ties into what you were sharing last week, that as we come near to God, as we draw near to God, and he draws near to us, It brings things into clarity. It fosters that love relationship. It brings healing and hope. It brings our devotion and our passion because he's a great, awesome, wonderful, merciful God that we will want to bow down before and embrace and sacrifice and operate in that relationship because he's a great God that is awesome, is worthy of our worship. And so I would just hope and pray that all of us would take to heart, you know, the various examples and words that you shared, Pastor Jason, along with this coming near to God and allowing him to come near to us, because it's kind of a promise. He states emphatically, he will come near to us as we come near to him, as we draw near to him. Hey, how about closing out our time in prayer as we head into the weekend and people's schedules and heartaches and maybe celebratory attitudes because of things that God has revealed to them today or this week, bringing that all into focus?
Father, we know that your word tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. And yet, Father, we repent of so often desiring to see what's going on, desiring to know what's going on, and wanting to walk by sight rather than by faith. Father, wanting to know without a doubt how things are going to be rather than relying upon you and trusting your heart. Father, I ask today that you would calm us and that you would quiet us, that you would, by your Spirit, embolden us to know, to give us the courage to know that you are leading us and you are guiding us, that you do love us with an everlasting love, that you will not leave us nor forsake us, that you are right here. And Father, also that we will go through times of trouble, that the wind and the rain and the storms will come, but that you have told us that the house built upon the rock will stand. And so, Father, help us in the midst of all that is happening around us to believe that, not on a surface level, but on a very deep level. And, Father, we thank you that of all the things you could be doing in your bigness, you choose to manifest and make yourself known in these small ways to each of us individually. Father, we thank you for who you are and how you have shown yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.